Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Check out the new PropSwap.com and use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. And next, we're brought to you by PrizePicks. PrizePicks is DFS simplified. Head on over to PrizePicks.com and use promo code SGP for a 100% instant deposit match of up to $100. And next, we're brought to you by SoBet. SoBet, sign up today and bet against your friends and join the social betting revolution at SoBet.io. That's SoBet.io. And lastly, we're brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a new free-to-play app that allows you to sync your fantasy football league and bet on head-to-head matchups. Download the app today or just head on over to betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's BETTOR, fantasy.com/SGPN. And speaking of download apps, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you to go download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts right there in the palm of your hand. So download it wherever it is you download apps.
Hi-yo, Degenerinos. I am back, baby. To rescue the show. Just joking. Episode 89 went down smashingly. This is episode 90 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and Sports Gambling Podcast Network. And I am back. Jeff Fox is back. I finally actually showed up for work when I am supposed to. Let's dedicate this episode to my associate host who had the rug pulled out from under him and had to do episode 89 by himself last minute and did a mediocre job, which is all we expect from him. Gave out mediocre picks, had mediocre jokes, you know, everything you expect from this podcast. So he filled my shoes admirably. But I'm back. So the banter is back. I know that's what brings you all here is the banter, not the winning picks. Because sounds like most of you are still tailing Dan for some reason. So obviously you don't care about winning picks or you would be telling the other person that's on this show. So thank you for listening. Hopefully you are listening on the dedicated feed, MMA Gambling Podcast feed. Because you get these podcasts earlier and in your ears before all the smart bettors drive those lines in the opposite direction of where we tell you to bet them. So let's introduce my associate host. I haven't heard him snickering yet, so he must be seething mad at everything I said heading into this introduction, or he's muted himself, one or the other. So what should we call him? I don't really want to call him anything. He's just mediocre. Oh, actually, he was good 2 weeks ago. Good 3 weeks ago. So he's Mr. 50, let's call him Mr. 50%, because he was about 50% last night. And two out of the past 4 weeks, he actually was good with his picks. So we have to find some other obscure type thing for him to bet on, because when it comes to Saturday night, picking UFC fights, to put it, excuse the French, but he's the shits, plain and simple. So maybe that's what his nickname would be, the shits, Daniel Breland.
Do you know what that reminded me of?
What?
Saying he's the shits. Have you ever seen that Have you ever seen that tweet from Habib when he was shit-talking Tony Ferguson?
Probably.
Yeah, so I'm almost positive I have this saved to my phone right now. Hang on, let me get the exact wording here, because I know it's really important. So it was when Tony Ferguson had been he had been calling out Habib, and Habib was like, it was right before Tony Ferguson was supposed to fight Kevin Lee, because Habib had pulled out of another fight, or the tiramisu, I can't remember why. So Tony Ferguson sent a whole bunch of tweets at Habib when he's got a fight with Kevin Lee coming up. So the direct quote from
Habib. Save time to do it.
Yeah, right. So Habib sends out the tweet. He says, "You have a fight soon. Your opponent is very tough and most underestimated in the lightweight division. Focus on him. I wish you and your family the best, even though you look like a shit."
Yes, I do remember that one. Yes.
Yeah, but like the use of before the article, yeah, before shit is the funniest part of that by
that
a while.
Is the key.
And you just told me I look like the shits.
Don't look like it. You look amazing. Your pics look like it. Always look stunning.
But it's the use of the article that's funny. And this is why people come here too, for grammatical breakdowns.
Exactly. That's what we're all about. How about a weather report? It is. I'm looking at the window. It's a winter wonderland here, Dan. How about in your?
Oh no, it's not snowing here yet. No, you guys are crazy with your freaking snow.
Yeah, it's so stereotypical. And it's actually sticking on the ground now. It wasn't earlier, but now it is on the ground, which is
one of my best friends lives in Alaska, and he sent me a picture this weekend. He had 6 inches of snow this weekend where he lives. Insane.
When does the snow go away?
In Alaska? I don't think ever. Right? Don't they live in igloos and shit?
I think so. That's what we do, at least. So dog sled just went down past my house as we speak. So, all right, but we should stop beating around the bush and delaying Dan's beating here. Because do you want to do the positive first? You want to do you did pretty good with Bellator picks, right? You want to hit that first?
And yeah, then... I went 3-1 on Bellator picks, which is good. And I think I went 0-1? Yeah, I was 0-1 in LFA, okay. But I actually think that decision was not good.
Oh, here we go.
And actually, the two I lost, both of the ones, both the Bellator one and the other one, were both split decisions. So
yeah, which is that's the worst losing the split decisions. It's the worst.
I think Litton Vessel beat Tyrell Fortune, so I was wrong on that pick. But it came up as a split decision, so it obviously was razor close too. So
yeah.
But yeah, I'll take 3-2 there, and one canceled fight. There's one canceled fight too.
Yeah. You had AstraZulis and Aaron. Was that?
Yeah, that was the one. Yeah, that one got canceled.
That was the one that was canceled, right?
They actually had that as the main event. When that got canceled, they went with a women's strawweight interim title fight, like thrown together at the last second, and then the medicals on one of those fighters didn't come through. So that
that's why I got confused.
Yeah, so then the main event wound up being Askar, he won.
Oh yeah, right, he won.
He won. I went against him. Yeah, I said it was funny. I said on the podcast that I thought he would be a massive a massive favorite because he's got the UFC experience. And I would bet Gomez. I thought he was good, and the lines came out. Gomez was -300, so I was like, oof. I don't necessarily. If I knew that ahead of time, I'd probably bet on Askar, not Gomez, because I didn't think he was that much better. But it's weird. Like I said, LFA, impossible lines to guess.
Yeah, usually you're pretty spot on with your picks. I think you were fairly good with picking your Bellator lines. You had Justine. Everyone in the world has Cyborg winning, except maybe the severe MMA people were kind of saying that Kavanaugh had a chance because they're Irish.
She didn't. She's like one of the worst challengers that Cyborg's ever seen.
Yeah, her record is not good.
It's not good. And if you look at who she lost to, like they're the type of people who you would then worry about somebody fighting Cyborg. But I was a little surprised Blenko was such a favorite against Pam Sorensen. I expected that to come in at like -200, and it came in -4. That's too bad.
Going back to Cyborg, she's still one of the fighters where I will watch her fight no matter who she's fighting or where she's fighting. I'll watch her fights because it's still maybe it reminds me of the olden days, but it's an event still watching her fight, even if it's cans. Not like Kavanaugh's a can, but even if it's overmatched. opponents, which it will be
forever.
Forever, unless she's back in the UFC, which that didn't really.
She'll never be.
Either party, no. They both can't stand each other. But, you know, I find her fights entertaining. Maybe I like watching Slaughters. I don't know. But
I find her entertaining, too, because she's so good. But right. Here's the thing. Here's the thing I will say about that, right? Like, she is so good. And I'll watch it, but part of the reason I'll watch it too is it's going to take 6 minutes for me to watch it, and then I don't have to tune it in, right? Like, you have to watch her walkout. That's probably 8 times longer, as long as we're being honest. And that's a little bit upsetting. Like, we can't find anybody to just give her a fight. I watch her too every time she's on because she's vet.
You watch everything else, so.
I watch a lot. Yeah, I watch a lot.
But no, Kayla Harrison's going to throw her. Everyone thinks Kayla Harrison can get thrown right in there and have no trouble with Cyborg. I don't know. Want to break down that fight? What do you think happens in that fight? What do you think the line would be in that fight? What side are you taking?
What do I think the line will be, or what do I think the line should be?
Do both.
All right, so let's start with where the line will be. The line would come in there with Cyborg at like -325. You get
really?
Like a plus.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. I think people really believe I actually only think it will be that close because people are high on Kayla Harrison.
Is a line, Dan. Sorry to interrupt, but there is a line.
Is there already a line? Get out of here.
There is already a line. -200 it opened at.
Okay. Okay, so I wasn't
minus
that 200 far
plus 170.
Okay, so I wasn't too far off. I was like minus 100 away. That's not too bad. I think where the line should be, and now if your book is offering this and you're one of those people who don't mind having money just sit in your account that you kind of can't touch because that fight might not happen for a while, you know, you don't mind having open tickets, you're not one of those people who likes to, you know, only bet when it's going to close out over the weekend, go better right now. There's no reason not to bet Cyborg in that fight.
Yep.
Unless
Harrison has a bunch of fights leading up to it where she gets more experience. That's the only catch.
Where she can fight somebody who can box her and stop her takedowns. Because I think Cyborg, here's the thing. She might be huge. She might be a gold medalist in judo, right? We've seen that before. We've seen women who are really good at judo and who have taken every schmuck down that they fought. And when they fight somebody who's got good boxing and great range, they stop. Right? Amanda Nunes has
Holly Holm.
And Holly Holm beat the shit out of Ronda Rousey. And, you know, I know people are out there being like, well, Ronda Rousey didn't have a well-rounded game. Kayla Harrison doesn't have a well-rounded game. She's not amazing boxer. She's not great at closing distance. Like, she's not, like, an amazing takedown artist on somebody who's got good footwork. Nobody she's fought has had really great footwork, like an exceptional footwork. There are people she's fought who have had good enough footwork. But, like, nobody she's fought has had anywhere near close to what Cyborg's going to do to her. And nobody she's fought can hurt her like Cyborg can.
Nope. You
know, at this point, like, who's the – Larissa Pacheco is, like, maybe the best name she's fought, right? Or, I mean, I guess it depends on how you feel about Cindy Dandois and, like, the really end part of her career. Because Cindy Dandois, way back in the day, was, like, actually somebody you should pay attention to. But, like – think about Pacheco, like Pacheco is probably the best one. She got submitted by a strawweight Jessica Andrade in one round. It took Jessica Andrade to submit her, and like that's the best competition that Kayla Harrison has fought. You're like, what, you put Cyborg in there with Jessica Andrade, like that's not gonna end well.
No, and she's used to being far bigger and more physical than her opponents, and Cyborg is another fighter who, you know, has to struggle or work hard to cut down to featherweight as it is. So it's not like she would have a huge power or strength advantage. I don't think either of us are saying that Kayla Harrison is the shits like Dan is, but she shouldn't be good. She should not be good already. Like she's probably exceeded expectations, at least in my eyes, up to this point. So
I think she is developing, though. You know,
definitely.
We're not here shitting on her because, like, I do think she's developing. She's figuring stuff out. She's getting better at things. But, like, the difference between, like, going 12-0 against, like, Taylor Guardado and going 12-0 against – I mean, like, even somebody like Aspen Ladd or Norma Dumont. Like, Aspen Ladd or Norma Dumont would starch the women she's fighting, right? They would beat the hell out of them. So, like, she's beating the hell out of him, which is good for her. But at the same time, like, yeah, like, if she can't fight that higher level competition that pushes her, and the first person who's going to do it is Cyborg, yeah, like, jump on a negative 200 line when you can.
Exactly. Yeah, Harrison's another one of those fighters that is still much must watch for me at this point, because I'm very interested in seeing her progress. Plus, it's fun to see someone so dominant at the sport. So I would, not that I ever want to follow Dana White's lead, but I would tell her, Herbie and Harrison, to, you know, stick with PFL at least for another season. They seem to be bringing in more and more bigger names and more challenges for her in her weight class. So just, you know, fight some more experienced fighters, win another $1 million, and then we can talk about you fighting maybe what, top three women's fighter of all time, maybe top two, probably. I guess the Nunes is probably the best of all time, and then what, Cyborg?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm in that order. Nunes, yeah. Cyborg, you know, and then
most dangerous, yeah.
And then after Nunes and Cyborg, it is like a toss up of, like, you know, 30 women who you could throw in there. Yeah. I guess you should probably include Valentina Shevchenko in there, yes, as well. Like, she's probably the 2B to Cyborg being the 2A.
Yep. So that was easy pick, Cyborg, obviously. And then, the Fortune Vassal one, I think I was a surprise to a lot of people. What was the line on that?
I can't remember exactly. I think it got bet down as the time went. More and more people were in on Vessel, which I thought was kind of surprising, because I think it opened near negative 300, but it closed, I think, under negative 200 for Fortune. And it wound up being Vessel at like 135. But I think a bunch of people probably got him up over two, if I'm not mistaken.
Minus 188 plus 210. Fortune with the minus is where it ended. It's Vassal in the performance rankings I run on my site, MMA-manifesto.com. He's the top heavyweight now after beating Fortune, because Fortune was 11-1 in Bellator and had won like 9 of his last 10. So I got him some mega points there. So, and then what other? You had Arlene Blancow, and then you had Aaron Pico. Pico Gonzalez.
Pico looked great.
Yep, good scrap and another good test for him. And they're starting to rev him up again. You know, they had to, he got beat a bunch of times in a row, so they had to crank it down for him. And now they're gradually increasing his opposition, and he's passing all the tests again.
Yeah. And I will say too, like, I'm, when you go back and look at his, how they had him fight, like, God, did he fight some dudes.
Yeah.
It's incredible, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, even, you know, people mocked him when he lost his pro debut, right? Because, you know, like, he came in so highly touted. I think Zach Freeman was 12-0 at that time when he fought him. Like, that's incredible.
Not Bellator style at all.
No. And it, I think it was because they were like, if he just beats this 12-0 guy, we'll have something to talk about, or, you know. But then, like, he fought Shane Curchin and Leandro Higo, and, like, yep, they fed him to Henry Corrales, who wound up beating him. But, like, he's fought some dudes. And Justin Gonzalez was a dude, too. Like, he was 12-0, too. And, you know, with some, like, big-name wins, too. Like, he beat Taiwan Claxton, and he won on Contender Series. Like, that's a tough dude to beat. So, yeah, good on Pico for getting back in it.
Yep. All right, so that's enough pumping Dan up, because he actually did good with those picks. So, not that he did horrendous last night.
No, I'm a mediocre boy, baby.
Mediocre boy, but compared to me, I'm on a – yeah. Well, we'll talk about my heater in a second. Let's tell you about some sponsors, first of all. WinBet, ready to win money and boost your odds. WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports. From NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. WinBet has some brand new bonuses. New users can bet $1 and win $100 in any sport. Plus you, that's you with a capital Y, you can get up to $1,500 as a free bet on WinBet if you make a first deposit of $20 or more. Whatever your first wager is, a WinBet will match it 200%. For example, you bet $100, they give you $200 free bet. Max wager for the match is $750. So they'll match it, $1,500. Dan and I have been pretty good at telling you what you should use your bonus money on. I think we, what did we do? The last time I think we said the Suns and they covered no problem, right? I think.
Well, the Suns, was the Suns, but before that, I think, or after that, I think I gave you a Sixers pick and they won as well.
Yeah, but you also said how, are the Knicks actually good now? And the question is, no, they're not.
Yeah, they're not actually good.
No, they were actually good a few weeks ago when you mentioned it, but now they're not actually.
But they covered on the night that I said to pick them, though, so that's what matters. Yeah.
Okay, our two hockey teams are about to play, the Canadians and the Bruins. What do you?
Well, then obviously put money on the Bruins, but
yeah, -250 Bruins.
Yeah, -250 Bruins. But if you want to win more than that, take the Denver Nuggets to beat the Mavericks on Monday night. They're getting four. So I like Jokic more than I like that. Yeah, like Jokic is gonna keep it close.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Mavs, yeah, they have not built a very good team around that Doncic fellow. But, all right, so there you go. There's your next pick. We're giving you hockey and basketball picks and MMA picks on this show. So great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds in every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com. And while I'm speaking, let me tell you about PropSwap. We're brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. PropSwap always has the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a bet you like, but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and PropSwap will double it up to $500. Double the cash means double the odds. If you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. Every ticket purchased on PropSwap can be resold at any time. So your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money, just needs to improve. Thousands of bettors across the country are shopping for tickets on PropSwap every day. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. All right. UFC Vegas 40. I have 41 written now, but it was actually 42 last night. You may know it as UFC Fight Night Holloway versus Rodriguez. Not Rodriguez because he is not from... not from Brazil or Portugal, for that matter. All right, 11-fight card. We ended up with Dan was 5-6, which is very mediocre, and he lost $174. Me, on the other hand, I went 7-4, and I was up $125. So, like, this is 13 weeks in a row now that I've been in the black, so I don't – I still feel like I don't know. I still feel like you should be doing better than me, Dan, with the way you break down fights, but – apparently, I should have more faith in myself here.
Well, you do tail me on one or two when you see like a nice underdog.
I did this past week. I wasn't even on the show.
Okay, let me ask you a question because this is an important question. So, what did you say you were in the black by this time?
125. I think I was going to take Alvarez anyway. I know that's where you're headed.
That's where I'm going because I think you read an article about Yoel Alvarez and decided to pick him. Because you typically don't like guys who miss weight, but, you know, a show came out and an article came out on Yoel Alvarez, and I would say
I think that before he may wait. My article went up Thursday morning, so.
Okay.
I wrote it Wednesday night, so yeah. I was on Alvarez.
He notoriously misses weight a lot.
Yeah.
I know.
A lot of people were on him, though.
They should have been. Sean, we'd be good.
Sean Sheehan on Severe MMA was saying how he had to, like, he was questioning picking him because of the line, and I was thinking the exact same thing. Like, I always try to make my picks before I look at the line, and then I saw the line, I'm like, am I missing something here?
No.
Apparently it wasn't. I didn't expect him to knock him out.
Something.
I didn't expect him to knock him out, though, but he had 7 inches of reach, so I guess it wasn't, and he's got better striking stats across the board, so I guess it isn't a huge surprise, but he's not really a knockout dude. I think you and I both expected him to catch him in a submission when they were grappling.
Yeah, I thought a bad sprawl, or to be honest, I think I said this on the show too. I think I had Alvarez by decision, just thinking Moises wouldn't be able to get him down or would get threatened too much and feel like he's doing all right on the feet, but he wasn't doing all right on the feet. Because I thought Alvarez would be the better striker for sure, and he really was. Not that we should have started with Yoel Alvarez, but I'm just saying. Sometimes you
plus 200. We have to
tail me on picks like that.
Exactly. Plus 200. We got to jump all over that. So let's four straight wins for him. Well, what to make of him? It's hard with him missing weight so badly all the time. Like, he's gonna have to maybe go to welterweight if he can't get this under control.
Yeah, this is less of a miss than his last one too. Against Yakovlev, he missed He missed by 5 pounds, I want to say. I think he was almost 160. And the interesting thing for me about Alvarez, too, did he also miss weight once? Did he also miss weight once and have the fight canceled? I might think of
maybe. I'll have to check. Wikipedia.
Capology, you'd know that crap.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They have canceled stuff.
Yep. Nope, never mind. That was a visa issue was the last one that got canceled. So, yeah. he's never had it canceled for that, but he has missed a couple of times and a couple of times in a row. He's huge for that division.
Yeah.
But is he big enough for 170? God, I don't know. I just hope, like, he either figures it out or gets that shit in check because, my God, he is a talented one.
And it's all finishes, too. I totally overlooked that part. He's won 4 straight fights via finish. TKO punches, submission guillotine chokes, submission armbar, and TKO elbows and punches last night / afternoon. So, we jumped right into the prelim part because we both hit a plus 200 dog on that. All right, let's go to the main event. Pretty much it was the fight we expected, and it was the outcome we expected, and it was the outcome the minus 700 line made it look like it was the outcome that the books expected. Max Holloway looked great. Yair Rodriguez looked super tough and dangerous. And I don't know if there's much else really to say. We won $14.29 on that on our $100 bet.
Yeah, I am curious. And I guess I just didn't watch it close enough thinking about scoring because it just seemed like Max was obviously winning. Right. And then when they read the scorecards, I was like, wait a second. Did Yair win 2 rounds? Because, like, maybe he did, I guess. But, like, I don't know. Like, when I was watching that, I was like, maybe Yair eked out a round. But I almost thought it must have been 50-45. But, again, this was me not watching super closely. But I think I thought this was way too close in terms of what the scorecard looked like.
Yeah, I was watching the exact same way. I think I was judging it more on damage, which I think is what they're supposed to do anyhow. And Holloway can eat everything thrown his way so well, and Rodriguez tends to get busted up a lot. So, yeah, I thought it wasn't even close, but actually, you know, it was very close. Like Rodriguez was one fight away, which means he probably was like one key moment in one round away from actually winning that fight. So at least getting a split decision. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is crazy. Although it's weird too. I just pulled up the scorecard. So everybody gave him the 5th round, which I think I get too. But then one judge gave him the 2nd and one judge gave him the 1st, doesn't feel right to me, but I think I more agree with the Sal D'Amato scorecard of Holloway, 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 and then maybe Rodriguez in the last one.
Yeah. Hopefully Rodriguez can get more active than sitting on the sidelines for 2 or 3 years. Hopefully they can get him some fights and not against the very, very top of the division every time. So he's in these massive battles and kind of maybe build him back up again. They probably won't do that. And he was technically cut by them because he dared to pass in a fight or have issue with his contract or something, which is never a good thing. So they may just keep feeding him killers. But I like to see him built up properly because he's one of the top of the division. Maybe he's not the very, very – you could argue he's probably – could be the 3rd best fighter in the division, but his record probably doesn't show it now because he lost to Edgar, now he lost to Holloway, and he got a draw with Stevens, and he's not been in the cage often enough.
Yeah, and there's because he's not been in the cage, too, there's so many good fights at the top of that division for him.
Yeah.
Right? Like him and Ortega, or, you know, if Zabit is actually not retired, like, you know, he's rumored to be right now, that would be a great fight. I'd run him back with Korean Zombie. I think that's a fun fight. Like, you know, he hasn't fought guys like Cater, Arnold Allen, or Josh Emmett, or Giga Chikadze because, like, they weren't in the top of the division when he got here. So, like, all of those guys, too. Edson Barboza would be a fun-ass fight. Like, it would be nice to see him stay active because there are so many fresh and good matchups for him there.
Do you see him clearly losing to anyone other than Holloway and the champ?
Yeah, Giga. Giga to kill
him. You think so? Yeah.
Yeah, Giga to kill him.
Oh, he would kill him, would he?
I think Giga would be an awful matchup for him because he's just a better striker. The other thing, too, is, and I think people forget this about Yair, I do not necessarily trust Yair against somebody who would regularly wrestle.
That's true.
Which, granted, at the top, he's lucky that at the top of featherweight, there aren't a lot of them, right? Like, Volkanovski, that's not how he goes. Holloway didn't shoot any takedowns. Ortega doesn't. I mean, like, he's got good submissions, but he doesn't shoot too many takedowns. Chan Sung Jung, he already fought. Cater doesn't fight to shoot too many takedowns. I guess maybe Arnold Allen and Josh Emmett kind of do, or Dan Ige, but, like, the division's not filled with guys who would do that to him. But, like, if you go down the line and find people like, you know, Bryce Mitchell or Movsar Evloev or Ilya Topuria, I think he would find bad matchups in some of the stylistic there because, like, Frankie Edgar took him down and beat the snot out of him, like, beat him badly. And I think people forget that. And since then, the only other person who could take him down since then was Jeremy Stephens, who did so fairly regularly in that fight. So much so that I was in the arena for that fight, and people booed the decision because they thought Jeremy Stephens won on takedowns. So, I think he's good, but I'm not ready to say, like, he's going to beat everybody in the division not named Max Holloway or Volkanovski.
Yep, keep rolling them out there, and we'll see, though.
Hopefully they do.
Yep, and that was Finley Fight of the Night, which most people in my pick'em contest to run on MMA Manifesto predicted. That was kind of a no-brainer pick. And it was actually one of the – there's only two fights that went to the decision last night. It was a very – I was going to say quick event, but we did have a couple of third-round finishes, which you rarely see. But we had a lot of early stuff. Like the next fight, for instance, which we both got wrong, heavyweight. Marcos Rogério de Lima won a very sloppy slugfest in 32 seconds against Ben Rothwell. He TKO'd him multiple times. Before we get into that, what are we going to do with Herb Dean, Dan?
Get him out of there, man.
That was his worst gaffe yet.
I'm sure I've said this before. So, like, if this sounds like I'm beating a dead horse, then I'm just going to beat it one more time. So here's my problem is that, like, you have judges in the past who you've said they let fights go too long. I think you probably remember that one where Daniel Rodriguez beat – Dwight, the body snatcher Grant, who, like, stunned him in, I think it was Chris Tione, just kind of let it go. And eventually Daniel Rodriguez, like, found his wits, and Dwight Grant was unconscious based on just pure exhaustion. And so he popped him on the face once and won. So, like, and there was another Chris Tione one, like, right back to back. And it was a late stoppage. You got other guys who've gone in there and have done, had really disgustingly early stoppages. The problem with Herb Dean is, he's not even sure he wants to stop it. You know what I mean? Like, he runs in, makes contact with fighters, and then gets out of dodge. Like, what are you doing, dude? Like, if you're going to run in and you're going to touch somebody, it's over. And you just need to have that conviction. And if you don't have that conviction, you shouldn't be in there protecting fighters. Right? Like, because that's the goal, right? Is to protect the fighters. And, like, you can work on things if you're being too late or too early. But if you don't believe in yourself, you don't believe that you have good enough judgment to decide when this stops, you shouldn't be in there.
This is not a new thing with him. This has been a few years of this happening with him. So they seem to almost be, the commission seems to almost be pushing back and, like, giving him more high profile spots than maybe he would have got. He didn't stop the fight last night. De Lima stopped the fight. De Lima turned around and asked him if the fight's over. And he's like, yeah, okay, the fight's over.
Yeah, it was bad. But as far as the pick goes, on another note, heavyweight MMA. Yep. That's what we're going to write it off.
Yeah, exactly.
That fight goes 30 more seconds. Who knows what happens?
So can we start fading Rothwell, though, at this point?
I don't know.
I wanted to start fading him already, but
The last time I faded him really hard, he kicked Stefan Struve in the ball sack three times and tired him out that way. So who knows? He could just go the right game plan. So
that was my lock pick. So I took a lock on the chin. It was minus 155. So now I'm down about 120 bucks on my locks. I'm at 19-11. Dan had that one too, but not as a lock. So next, moving on. Women's featherweight, Felicia Spencer was a dog in there. She just did not let up on Leah Letson. Most of it was clinching against the cage and not really stalling Clinton. She was battering her the whole time for a few moments on the canvas also. But yeah, Felicia Spencer did what she had to do to win, and she ended up winning via TKO with some punches, and she had vicious elbows before that. So with only about 35 seconds left in the fight, she finished off Leah Letson.
I was impressed in how good her wrestling was. It looked better than it has in a really long time. And I took Letson in this fight sort of on the premise that, like, if this stayed at distance on the feet, I favor Leah Letson, and I still do in that fight, right? Like, I don't think there's any reason not to favor her in a stand-up fight, but, you know, props to Felicia Spencer for making it not that.
Yep. So Dan got that wrong because he read the fight. Well, I with the plus 240, you're on a wing and a prayer, basically. You're hoping the fight ended up being a distance fight, and it wasn't. So no shame in the game, but I had Spencer. Haha. Next fight pretty much went the way we expected. Maybe it lasted longer than we expected. Chaos Williams TKO'd Miguel Baeza, but both men had their moments where they almost TKO'd the other. I had Baeza, so I lost on that one. Dan had Williams, so he got plus 112. But I don't think we really learned too much about either guy in that fight. They pretty much fought the way we expected from the fight.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're slowly learning that, like, Chaos Williams is not just, like, a big, fiery puncher early on in the fight. Like, he can go the distance, which is pretty impressive. I think early in his career, right after he knocked out Alex Morano and Abdul Razak Al-Hassan, which he did back-to-back in less than a minute total, and then he got out-grappled by Michel Pereira and looked tired doing it, I think people kind of just said, like, oh, he's just a power puncher early in fights and he's shit otherwise. And I think he's doing a good job of showing us that he's not that. I'm glad that he didn't immediately knock Miguel Baez out, because he is showing that, like, there is some depth to what he's doing on the feet. Even if his defense isn't perfect, he is slowly figuring things out. And I'm pretty damn impressed by him. He's also one of those welterweights. And the welterweight division is full of these guys. Going to be in a fun fight every single time. Like, the dude is not – it's like him, Pereira, used to be Mike Perry, Nico Price, Tim Means. You could still throw Matt Brown in there. Like, God, welterweight has got, like, those fringe top 15 guys are so fun.
You got her. So I got the one wrong. We got the next one right. Bantamweight, Song Yadong, minus 145. Both hit that one. He won via TKO head kick and punches in the second round, minute 35, over Julio Arce. Time, so that's basically 7-1 in the UFC for Yadong, and he's won two straight. In my performance rankings, he's moved up to fourth now, and he's not even ranked in the UFC official rankings. So the only people I have him behind based on the opponents he's beaten and how he's beaten them, the only people he's behind is Sterling, Dillashaw, and Yan. So I think it's time we get a number beside this guy's name in the official rankings, and we get him a top shelf opponent.
So he's had a number in front of his name a couple of times, but I'll say this. He does have a loss to Kyler Phillips that looked real bad.
His loss, though, that's the thing.
His draw with Cody Stamann really should have been a loss. Like, that one really should have been a loss. The split decision to Casey Kenney. You know, like, if you just look at his resume, it's like, I mean, like, I guess the win against Marlon Vera winds up looking the best, but, like, ultimately, it, like, doesn't look like he has a whole bunch of wins. And, of course, you know, you have to get a good opponent in order to beat a good opponent. So, like, it'd be nice if they put him in there with somebody. But I don't know. This fight probably helps him because it was an exciting finish. But his, like, kind of boring-ass style, I think, is, like, stymied him getting any kind of meaningful fight. And, like I said, the fact that I'm pretty sure he lost to Cody Stamann and Kyler Phillips, who are not really, like, super elite-sounding names.
Plus, that's Dan for you with the revisionist history. But
I like Song Yadong, and I picked him to win. But at the same time, like, you have to point out, like, he's probably not got much going on there.
So in the main card, we both went 3-2. You actually end up more money on the main up on the money score in the main card, because you had the plus 112 dog. So let's see how you did in the prelims, Dan. Maybe you did better than me last night. No, maybe not.
No,
first
maybe
of
not.
All, maybe not. Better Fantasy is a new free-to-play app that lets you sync your fantasy football league and bet on the matchups. You can cash out for gift cards when your bets hit and even help raise money for charity along the way. It's a brand new company looking to grow their early adopter community. It's got a slick app. It's fun to use. And one of the reasons we love playing here at SGPN is they also offer prop betting. So if you're in a state that hasn't legalized gambling yet, you can get in some prop bets on Better Fantasy. It's totally free to play. Download today on the iPhone or Android. You can check them out at bettorfantasy.com/SGPN. That's bettorfantasy.com/SGPN. Also, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this, and I know you will too. Prize Picks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. Prize Picks offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator and offers all the superstar players as well as bench players, only recording a handful of minutes each game. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. All of your users that deposit and use your promo code, which would be SGP. So all of our listeners that use SGP will receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. That's promo code SGP. Here's how it works. You pick 2 to 5 players and the over and under on the projections. And if you hit it, you can win up to 10 times on any entry. And basically, it's just you versus the projected number. PrizePicks allows mixed sport entries. So you can take the over on a LeBron prop combined with the under on a Mahomes prop on the same entry. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. PrizePicks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com. Use promo code SGP to get your 100% instant deposit match up to $100, or go to your App Store and download the app today. PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy. All right, we already did Yoel Alvarez. Everyone seems to be calling him Joel still. He got probably the biggest win of his career ever, Thiago Moises, and won us plus $200 bets. So we hit that one. I hit my next underdog also. I had Andrea Lee at plus money, plus 100. Dan had Cynthia Calvillo. Lee won TKO corner stoppage, which is very rare to see after the second round. Yeah, this is a very big win for Lee. That's 2 wins in a row for her after, I think she lost 3 straight before that.
Yeah, she had lost 3 straight, yeah.
Yeah, she was in trouble, but this vaults, women's flyweight is not a very deep division, and they're always looking for new fresh meat to feed to the champion, Shevchenko. So this vaults her way up there. She's probably 1 fight away from a title shot, depending on how she looks in her next fight, if she wins decisively again.
I'm not sure.
I don't think she's good, but I don't think she's that good. She's okay. But
I mean, like, she would have to be somebody pretty substantial in her next fight. Because you got to remember, she has losses to all of those women in front of her, and now some of the women behind her, right? Like, she lost to Lauren Murphy. She lost to Joanne Calderwood. She lost to Roxanne Modafferi.
Lauren Murphy. But you're just naming all your favorites. Lauren Murphy.
But my point is that, like, they're my favorites because they're, like, not actually. I mean, they're good. They're not like world beaters, and they beat her soundly. She couldn't compete with their physicality. Throwing her in there with Valentina Shevchenko would be a sacrifice in, like, the most brutal way. And I get that there are not a lot of challengers for Valentina Shevchenko right now, but, like, granted, Andrea Lee picking up a stoppage is very nice. I don't think she's 1 away. I think she's a lot more than 1 away.
I don't know. I don't think she deserves it or is going to have any chance against Shevchenko. I'm just saying. It comes down to timing. But anyhow, she looked good. What are we doing about Calvillo? That's, what, 3 straight losses for her. She's 34 years old, which is kind of surprising. They mentioned that in Severe MMA this morning, and I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't have thought she was that old. She's not like she's a young up-and-comer, and she hasn't seemed to progress very much at all.
The worry for me here is that, like, it now seems like the move up to flyweight was problematic, right? Like, it doesn't seem to be working. Like, she doesn't seem to belong up there. And, like, the move to flyweight was, like, sort of the move to, like, jumpstart her career because she had missed weight, you know, like, I think twice down at strawweight and didn't really feel like she could, you know, maintain her weight there and stuff like that. But, like there's so many issues with her up there. Like, physicality-wise, distance-wise, like, she's not a particularly – tall or long fighter. Like, she got a 64-inch reach, which is 5'4", which is actually her height, too, which is – so she's got a very short reach for somebody in that division.
Yeah.
And now, you know, being 34, thinking about her going back down a weight, man, like, you've got to imagine that would be hell on her. So
– yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't know. It seems weird to think that the UFC might just cut her loose, but the UFC might just cut her loose at this point.
Yeah, you never – yeah, you can see that. Three straight losses usually is grounds for termination. Two straight fights losses sometimes is also. So Andrea Lee got the bonus for that, which I'm sure she's happy about, $50,000 in her bank account. Next fight we both got right. This was Dan's lock, Sean Woodson. Featherweight used his insane size and length to TKO punches to the body, which is fun to see. 4.5 minutes into the fight over Colin Anglin. Woodson pretty much fought the way that Woodson should fight.
Yeah.
Yep, should fight to win, and we hit -325. I don't know if there's much else to say about that.
No, he's fighting a guy who has trouble getting on the inside of long fight strikers.
Yep.
To, you
that's
know,
what happened.
And he's a long striker, so.
Yep. Oh, and Chaos Williams also got the bonus, sorry, earlier on. So Williams and Lee, and then Holloway and Rodriguez were all the bonus winners. Next fight, this was a bummer for us, Dan. Liana Jojua, first she missed weight, and then she got picked apart on the feet, which is not something we would expect it was going to happen over Courtney Casey outboxing her, but that's what happened for three straight rounds. That was disappointing. That was one of her dogs, +175, and yeah, it could not have been more wrong. How did we screw up on this one, Dan?
We screwed up because we thought Liana Jojua would shoot takedowns with some sort of regularity, or at least I did. Yep. Like the
yeah, that's what we were banking on.
She shot three and scored on two of them, and like, yep, not for anything. She didn't get a ton of top control time, right? She only held her down for a minute and a half or so. But, like, if she had just used that more regularly, I think it would have also opened up her striking. And if you go back and listen to the breakdown I did, I'm almost positive one of the things I said was, like, she just needs to regularly shoot takedowns and she'll be fine. And she didn't. She just, like, she had success and was like, ah, fuck it, I'm just going to box her. And, like, she got outboxed by Miranda Maverick, who's also not a boxer. So, like, I was just disappointed in the game plan because Jojua, I think, would have had an easy time had she decided to box or decided to wrestle, rather.
Yep. She could be in trouble also. That's what, two straight losses, and she's 1-3 now in the UFC, so that's not looking so hot for her. She's
I think
young,
her being
so.
26 and from Georgia helps because they seem to like what they're tapping into in Georgia.
Yeah, home of the Atlanta Braves, World Series champions. Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Same joke. Yeah, and Courtney Casey, she needed that win, and she got it, so good for her. Good for her making us lose. All right, so we got that one wrong because Jojua did not game plan properly. That's what we're blaming that one on. We got Mark D. Casey wrong, -190 in the next fight. Yeah, things didn't start off so hot for us. He got submission, guillotine choked over Rafael Alves. Seemed to be a lot of bad blood between these two. I don't really know any backstory about that, but DKC did not look good in his return, Dan. He got rocked, stunned on his feet, and then choked out. So how do we screw up here? We thought DKC would be how he looked
a little sharper, a little less ring rust. You know, Alves, I did say I thought Alves is super explosive, really powerful, and pretty much all we needed was DKC to drag him deep into a fight because he wrestles quite a bit, and he, you know, Alves has those like big explosive movements all the time that would just tire him out. And we saw Demiris Magulov pretty much do that to him. It's like take him into deep waters and win a decision there. Kind of thought DKC would do the same thing, and instead DKC just he got smacked by the dude who is an explosive power puncher. So
DKC was. He's a bit of a disappointment. He was one of those guys who came in with a lot of hype. He was on Top Turtle back in the day, right?
Way back in the day, yeah.
Way back, and now, yeah, it's hasn't really gone according to schedule for him. What's his record now in the UFC? He's 5-5 now, so but lost two straight, so not so hot. All right, and then the opener, I got the opener right. Da On Jung KO'd, actually. This wasn't one of the rare KOs, not a TKO on this card. Elbows over Kennedy Enzichukwu. Took him 3 minutes and 4 seconds first round. Both guys were quite tentative on the feet until Zhang started finding his range and pieced him up, and I got minus 125 on that, and Dan lost even money bet on that. So tell me how you screwed up there, Dan.
It's surprising to me that Zhang had the power to put him away. Because, like, it is shocking to me that Daun Zhang is the one who put him away when you consider that he went in there, let Danilo Marquez take his back and nearly choke him out. Had a good enough defensive jiu-jitsu to deal with that. Fought Carlos Ulberg, who is an incredible kickboxer, took 800 punches to the face and had enough chin to take that. But for some reason, Daun Zhang was the one who he couldn't take it from, which is, it seems weird that that's the guy who did him in. Because I wouldn't think he's a better power puncher than Carlos Ulberg. But, I mean, I guess elbows hurt more. Maybe that's
maybe this is he's accumulating damage over all those fights you're talking
about. It could
about,
be right? That too, for sure.
Yeah. So what do we think of Zhang now? He's 4-0-1 in the UFC. Pretty easy, not easy division, but not light heavyweight. It's not a stacked division by any means. So what are your thoughts on him?
So I would be more excited. However, you mentioned 4-0-1. Do you want to go ahead and read me off who that draw is against?
Who the draw was against. So you want the one blemish on his record. All right, fine, Dan, I'll play your game. He won in the Contender Series, and then he lost to Paul Craig in his debut, which is a tough debut. Beat Darko Stosic, who isn't in the UFC anymore, I don't think, right? Beat Carlos Ulberg. Is he still in the UFC? Yeah, he's still around.
Oh, you're reading Zichukwu.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm reading
Zichukwu's record. I was like, I don't remember him fighting Darko Stosic, but
it's true. All right. Kadys Ibrahimov, he submitted him. He's not in the UFC anymore, is he?
No, he was terrible.
He beat KO'd Mike Slow Rodriguez. He just got cut, right?
He did. Yes.
He drew with Sam Alvey. Yikes, I remember that fight now.
He drew with Sam Alvey, Jeff.
And then he beat William Knight and beat Kennedy Enzichukwu. So not the greatest resume.
In Sam Alvey's last seven fights, he's 0-6-1 draw.
That's the one.
Is Daun Zhang. So if you're telling me, go buy stock in Daun Zhang, I'm going to pump the brakes just a little bit on that. Because, yes, impressive win. He's now beat Zichuku and William Knight back-to-back. But two out of his four UFC wins are no longer with the UFC, and he has drawn Sam Alvey. So not sold on him yet.
All right, Dan answered the question there by making me read a bunch of things off the screen. I'm going to read a few more things for you. I'm going to read you about SoBet. It says, when did sports betting become so rigid? Sports betting is meant to be social. When I picture betting, I picture bootleggers with mustaches, definitely, tossing bets around in a speakeasy. SoBet is taking the social lineage of betting and putting a modern twist on it by providing a modern platform. SoBet is changing the game with their new product. Head over to SoBet.io and create an account to see for yourself. Through their fully functioning and free web application, you can access a demo of their app, which will launch next fall. The app includes consensus lines from Vegas, a feed of what other people are betting on, and the ability to send friendly wagers to anyone you know via text, QR codes, and links, among other methods, as I struggle to read. No money is transacted on the app, and it's purely competitive. Next time you're with your friends watching sports, turn the dial up a notch. Go to SoBet.io and see who can hit the most ridiculous bets. Users have the ability to place bets off Vegas odds or generate a bet by changing any metric they want, as long as somebody is on the other side to accept. Let's get back to the roots of betting with SoBet. Go to SoBet.io. That's SoBet.io today to join the revolution. And if you haven't already and you're downloading apps, SGPN, we have an app. It's now live in the App Store and Google Play. We'll give you easy access to all our picks and podcasts. You can get reminders and notifications and all that fun stuff. And if you could give us a glowing app review, because we deserve it, that would be much appreciated. All right, so there's nothing really, other than next week's UFC, there's nothing else worth, well, there's always something worth betting on, but there's nothing else we're really going to handicap, is there? There's no real regional or Bellator or anything like that. I think the only other thing worth mentioning might be Ryzen. Nothing else, really.
Well, and the Ryzen for me is really like a one fight card. Like, no offense to all the other ones, but it's like King Reyna is fighting, and she's always kind of fun to watch. But CFFC's taking place on Friday. When you mentioned you didn't think there was too much, I looked and CFFC's going, but it is kind of a down card for them too. You know, they got a bantamweight title fight between Damon Blackshear, who you might remember from is he Contender Series? Yeah, he was a Contender Series guy, I want to say. If not, he fought in like Bellator and CES and other organizations that I'm familiar with. But like he's a decent name in the regional circuit, and he's pretty damn good. But like has also lost to guys who are going to keep him out of the UFC. And he's fighting a 5-0 dude in the main event, DeAndre Anderson. So, like, not a real impressive main event. DeAndre Anderson is, like, more of a boxer than anything else. And then there's a couple other, like, 5-0 and 3-0 guys. There's a guy, Wade Johnson, who's 11-2, who we haven't seen in 4.5 years. So, like, not a lot of big names for a CFFC card. So, yeah, not a lot going on this weekend other than Caitlin Vieira versus Misha Tate.
Yes, I think. Can you bet on CFFC anywhere wide? Have you found it anywhere?
I think sometimes it shows up, but usually not until like the night before. So you're not going to see any consensus lines, and you know, like I probably wouldn't just like handicap this blindly and then go look for the lines. I'd probably wait until the lines came out and see if there was something that was like, oh, that seems way off, and cherry pick it. But especially on this card where there's just like not a lot of people you've ever heard of. With the exception of the main event, I'd probably just, you know, it's on there on Friday night if you're looking for some fights to watch. But, yeah, as far as the gambling side of things, probably not too helpful.
Maybe if you hit Dan up in our Slack channel come Friday, maybe he'll have a bet for you. Who knows? Who's to say? But SGP and Slack is the place to be, people. New people are popping up in the fight channel there all the time, which is good to see. As Dan mentioned, UFC will be Vieira versus Tate. It would be Caitlin Vieira and Misha Tate. That is next Saturday from the UFC Apex, another fight night card. Maybe not packed with massive names, but it is a pretty – it's got a lot of fun-looking fights on it. We got Vieira versus Tate. Probably the most exciting one would be the co-main event, Michael Chiesa versus Sean Brady, would you not say?
Yeah, that one's really
fun. Or most
fun.
Interesting, at least.
And definitely the most – the most impactful fight is that one, but I would also say I'm really interested in Joanne Wood. No more
Wood
Joanne.
Calderwood.
Yeah, I wish it was hyphenated, but it is just Joanne Wood now. So Joanne Calderwood or Wood, nay Calderwood, is fighting Talia Santos, who has just looked exceptional lately. So another big step up for her.
That could be a number contender fight also, right?
Yeah, like
I'm always trying to find people for Shevchenko, it sounds like.
She's closer. She's way closer than Andrea Lee. She would eat Andrea Lee for breakfast. So, like, yeah, Talia Santos, Joanne Wood, plus Davey Grant, Adrian Yanez should be fun.
Right.
Terrence McKinney, Ferris Zayane should be bonkers too because they're both crazy fun strikers. Of course, Terrence McKinney is in his fifth fight this year. Maybe
second UFC fight, right?
It might be his sixth fight this year.
Really?
If I'm not mistaken. Hang on, let me get this. This is always makes for good radio. This will be his fifth fight this year.
That's wild.
He's already 4-0. Yeah, he won an SHP, whatever that organization is. He had a pair of wins in LFA, and now he'll have a pair of fights in the UFC. And get this. Total fight time right now, after all of that, is under 2 minutes currently. He has been in the cage for less than 2 minutes, and he's stepping into his fifth fight. So, you don't blink when Terrence McKinney's in there.
And I thought you were going to mention Luma Lookboomy versus Lupi Godinez. That should be an interesting matchup as well.
It should, because especially after – so this will be Lupita Godinez's third fight in a month, which is crazy. And as we saw with her, like, real interesting play between can she wrestle, can she not wrestle, right? Because we saw her at strawweight easily wrestle and dominate and armbar Silvana Gomez-Juarez. Then she moved up to flyweight for the next one, couldn't deal with the length, power, tie striking of Luana Carolina. Now she gets somebody who's almost like a hybrid. She's very small. Luma Lookboomy is you know, naturally an atom weight. She used to make 105, but she has that same style as Luana Carolina. So it's a very interesting fight from a stylistic standpoint, for sure.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm liking this card as I look over it. It's got a lot of interesting fights and some actually meaningful stuff. But interesting to see if Misha Tate is actually officially back and is a top contender in the division or not. So yeah, that we will be breaking that down on Wednesday when we are back, Wednesday night / Thursday morning whenever you listen to it. And I see there's a rumor that Khamzat Chimaev is going to fight Gilbert Burns. Did you see that, Dan?
I had not seen that. I knew he was pushing for one.
It's just a rumor at this point.
I knew he was pushing for a fight. I knew Burns always seems to be pushing for a fight, so it certainly makes sense. I mean, like, Leon Edwards definitely just priced himself out of a title shot if Khamzat were to beat Gilbert Burns. Because
yeah,
no
Leon
doubt,
Edwards is getting screwed over again.
Like, but so you can say that, right? Like, you can say he's getting
he's
screwed
his own worst enemy,
right?
Also.
But right, like, they if they offered you any of those opponents, because I guarantee Gilbert Burns would have fought him on the same date that Jorge Masvidal was supposed to, right? There's no doubt in my mind Gilbert Burns would have fought him. But he decided not to take that fight. Right, like he decided he did not want to fight Gilbert Burns on that date, and he would just wait for a title shot. I'm guaranteeing he gets overlooked because of it.
Oh yeah, yeah. If this Burns, like I said, is just a rumor at this point, this Burns Chimaev fight happens. I think they're looking to do it like on the pay per view at the end next month. They're basically fast tracking Chimaev to a title shot because if he beats Burns, then I would say he's definitely next up.
Yeah, I would say 1,000% if he beats Burns. And I would also say this. Tell me I'm wrong. If Burns were to beat Khamzat Chimaev, is he not ahead of Leon Edwards too?
Probably. Yeah, I think everyone is Leon Edwards. Yeah. He's
really good. He's a really good fighter. And I don't mean to shit on him like this, but like, dude, like, when Jorge Masvidal backs out of a fight, you can't just say, cool, I'll wait and just pretend this was a win.
That's what he did last time, too, a few years ago.
That's what he did when Gilbert Burns got his first title shot.
Right,
Burns wound up with that title shot instead. And, like, you can't just be like, that's fine, I'll just count this as a win, because it turns out you don't get to decide that.
Yep. Yeah, so
this isn't like a playground brawl where when the other guy doesn't show up, you get to tell your friends you won.
Yeah,
like it doesn't work that way.
All right, so Chimaev Burns, give me a line. Tell me who you're picking and what you're betting. Go on this pretend fight.
Oh, man, if this had a line, I got to imagine Chimaev is going to be a huge favorite, right?
Yeah.
Right, like he's -300, -220, or +225 maybe on the return. And again, I will continue to be wrong on Khamzat fights all the time. I've picked against him. I didn't pick against him with Li Jingliang, but I've picked against him before, like with Gerald Meerschaert and shit, because I was just like, he shouldn't be a -800 favorite until I've seen more. And I sort of feel the same way against Gilbert Burns. Like, he shouldn't be a massive favorite over Gilbert Burns until I've seen him fight anybody with a quarter of the skill of Gilbert Burns, right? Like, what would Gilbert Burns do to Li Jingliang? Probably the same shit, right? Like, he would probably beat the hell out of him, too. So, like, to just automatically assume Khamzat's going to kill him, yeah, I don't know about that. Especially because, man, like, Burns cracks, too, on the feet. You know, we saw him crack Usman a couple of times. I mean, like, he gave Usman a pretty damn good first round. And here we are probably talking about him being a massive underdog to a guy who just came off of a fight with Li Jingliang. So, yeah, I would say that's probably where it's at. And as far as picking somebody, I don't have any clue. Like, Khamzat is so hard to cap right now.
Yep. I have a feeling he's going to be a guy. He may end up being champion before we actually realize that he really is up to the hype being thrown his way. Because,
It's just moving so fast. Like, he could be champion and I could still not be sure he's good.
Yep. That's what I'm trying to say, but I'm running out of words again because we're at the end of the podcast. So, we'll be back Wednesday. We won't be talking. Well, maybe we'll be talking about Chimaev. Who knows? We will be talking about Vieira versus Tate for sure. And I'll give you winning picks, Dan. I'm not sure. We'll see what he decides to do.
Mediocre or better, remember.
Mediocre, yeah. All right, mediocre, yeah. You guys just keep tailing him regardless and praising him when the real genius is in your midst and you're not even noticing.
I appreciate all my fans.
You do have a lot of fans, that's true. So make sure you go on our Slack channel and you can be Dan's fan too. You can follow us on Twitter. You can be fans there. I'm Jeff Fox, writer. He's Gumby Vreeland. Read our stuff on sportsgumbypodcast.com. Dan has been dabbling in NBA stuff now that baseball's over, and I will have my UFC stuff up there as per usual. And you can read both of our MMA writing at MMA-manifesto.com. Did I get all the plugs, Dan? I think that's it, right?
I think you got it.
All right. Until Wednesday, I will be Juicy J, Jeff Fox, and he will be Daniel the Shits Vreeland. And we'll talk to you then. Bye.